In sync with the sun. The Surya Namaskar is a familiar sequence of postures to many who have practiced or know something of yoga. Generally, people understand Surya Namaskar as a physical exercise. Others view it with some suspicion as some form of sun worship. It is neither. Yes, it most definitely does strengthen your spine and muscles and more, but that is not the objective. What then is the significance of what is often seen as sun salutation? This is not a salutation at all. It literally means organizing the solar energies within you. Based on simple logic that all life on this earth is solar powered, sun is the life source for this planet. In everything that you eat, drink and breathe, there is an element of the sun. Only if you learn how to better digest the sun, internalize it and integrate it into your system, do you truly benefit from this process. Those who do Surya Namaskars regularly find that their batteries last longer with less need for recharge or replenishment. Additionally, Surya Namaskar aids the balance or reorganization of inner energies in terms of right and left or lunar and solar dimensions. This produces an innate physical and psychological equilibrium that can be an enormous asset to one's daily life. As I mentioned before, when I was young, I had to be forcibly awakened every morning. But once I began yoga, my system came awake effortlessly at a certain hour every day. Life began to happen with that much more ease and equanimity. Surya Namaskar is essentially about building a dimension within you where your physical bodily cycles are in sync with the sun cycles, which run about 12 1/4 years. It is not by accident, but by intent that it has been structured with 12 postures. If your system is in a certain level of vibrancy and readiness, and in a high state of receptivity, then naturally your cycle will be in sync with the solar cycle. Young women have an advantage because they are also in sync with the lunar cycles. It is an advantage, but a lot of them treat it as a curse. It is a fantastic possibility that the body is both connected with solar and lunar cycles. Nature has granted this advantage to a woman because she has been entrusted with the responsibility of propagating the human race. So she has been given some extra privileges, which unfortunately have been perceived socially as disadvantages. People do not know how to handle the bonus energy generated at that time and hence treat it as a curse, even a kind of madness. The word lunatic is derived, as we know, from lunar. The physical body is a fantastic stepping stone for higher possibilities, but for most people it functions as a roadblock. The compulsions of the body do not allow them to go forward. Practicing Surya Namaskar maintains physical balance and receptivity and is a means of taking the body to the edge so that it is not a hurdle. Between the menstrual cycle, which is the shortest cycle, a 28-day cycle, and the cycle of the sun, which is over 12 years, there are many other kinds of cycles. The word cyclical denotes repetition. It also means going round in circles and not getting anywhere. Repetition means, on some level, compulsion. Compulsiveness implies something that is not conducive for consciousness. Anything that is physical, from the atomic to the cosmic, is cyclical. Either you ride the cycle or you are crushed by it. Yogic practice is always aimed at enabling you to ride the cycle so you have the right kind of foundation for consciousness. It must be remembered that the repetitive nature of cyclical movements or systems, which we traditionally refer to as samsara, offers the necessary stability for the making of life. if everything was random, it would not be possible to house a steady life-making machine. For the solar system and for the individual, being rooted in cyclical nature gives a certain firmness and steadiness to life. The very nature of the physical world is cyclical. But once life has reached the level of evolution that human beings have attained, it is natural to aspire not just to stability but to transcendence. Now it is left to the individual human beings either to remain trapped in the cyclical or to use these cycles for physical well-being or finally to go beyond the cyclical entirely. If you are compulsive, you will see the situations, experiences, thoughts and emotions in your life will be in cycles. They keep coming back to you once every 6 or 18 months, 3 years or 6 years, depending on your degree of compulsiveness. If you just look back on your life, you will notice this. If they come once in 12 years, that means your system is in a high state of receptivity and balance. The Surya Namaskar is an important process to enable that to happen. On a rudimentary level, it is a complete workout for the physical system, a comprehensive exercise form without any need for equipment. But above all, it is an important tool that empowers human beings to break free from the compulsive patterns of their lives. There are variations of this practice depending on the individual's aspirations. Someone who seeks muscular fitness can practice a basic process that is known as Surya Shakti. Through practice, if one attains a certain level of stability and mastery over the system, one could be introduced to a more powerful and spiritually significant process called the Surya Kriya. While the Surya Namaskar is about balancing the two dimensions of sun and moon, or masculine and feminine, within the human system, the Surya Kriya is about connecting these two fundamental divisions for further spiritual growth. A legendary yogi, Raghavendra Rao, the yoga teacher I met as a boy, led a life that would be considered superhuman by conventional standards. He was known as Maladihalli Swami because he hailed from the village of Maladihalli, which is in the southern Indian state of Karnataka. He was known to do 1,008 Surya Namaskars a day. Later, after he was 90 years of age, he brought the number down to 108, not because he was not capable, but because there was no time. That was his spiritual practice. In addition to being a yoga master, he was a wonderful Ayurvedic doctor. He was one of the few Nadi Vaidyas, traditional physicians, who diagnosed your ailment by feeling your pulse. He would not only tell you what disease you had today, but could predict what ailment was likely to afflict you in the next 10 to 15 years, and would teach the requisite remedial practices. One day in a week, he would be available in his ashram as an Ayurvedic doctor. Wherever he was, he would travel back to the ashram on Sunday evening to be there on Monday morning. If he sat down at 4 o'clock in the morning, he was there right through the day till 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening. Volunteers would come in shifts to help him, but he himself sat through the whole day. For every patient who came, he had a joke to tell. People would forget that they have come for treatment. It was less like a doctor-patient interaction and more of a festival. This happened when he was about 83 years of age. One Sunday, late at night, he was at a railway station about 46 miles from his ashram. He was with two companions and they discovered that there was a railway strike. This meant no trains and no other means of transport. His commitment to his work was such that he left his two companions on the platform of the train station and just ran 46 miles overnight on the railway tracks. At 4 o'clock in the morning, he was at the ashram ready to treat his patients. People at the ashram did not even realize that he had come running. Only when his other two friends reached there, did they tell the others what Swamiji had done. That is how incredibly he lived. He lived up to the age of 106 and taught yoga until his dying day. Elemental mischief. Life is a game of just 5 ingredients. Even a pizza requires more ingredients. But in yoga, both human body and the cosmos are based on the magic of only 5 elements: earth, water, fire, air and ether. Such a staggeringly complex phenomena and just 5 variables. Not surprisingly, those who attain self-realization have often termed life a cosmic joke. Once when I was driving after midnight, I approached a mountain. As I drove towards it, I saw almost half the mountain was ablaze. I am not known to shy away from danger, so I continued to drive. But I was cautious because I knew I was in a car full of flammable fuel and I had my little girl in the back seat. It was misty, and the farther I drove up the mountain, the fire always seemed to be a little further away. Then I realized that although all the terrain that I saw from down below looked like it was on fire, as I drove into it, there was nothing at all. When I reached the actual site of the fire, I saw that a truck had broken down. The driver and a couple of others had built a small fire for themselves because of the cold. As the mist reached a dew point, the million droplets in the air, each one acting as a prism, created such a phenomenal illusion that a little fire seemed like a major conflagration. From down below, it looked like the whole mountain was aflame. That incident left me astounded. Creation is just like that, hugely magnified. Those who have looked within themselves closely, attentively realized there was no need to look at the macro version. The entire cosmos is just a magnified projection of a little occurrence happening within you, the play of 5 elements. This is all it takes to make a throbbing, full-fledged human being. Maybe your desire is individual, maybe it is universal, but whether you want to realize the full potential of this human mechanism or merge with the larger cosmic mechanism, you need a certain measure of mastery over these 5 elements. Without this, you know neither the pleasure of being an individual nor the bliss of uniting with the cosmic. Whether your physical body is a stepping stone or a hurdle on your path to well-being essentially depends on how you are able to manage these 5. If they do not cooperate with each other, nothing significant ever happens to you. But with their cooperation, your life from the basic to the highest aspects suddenly becomes a tremendous possibility. The body is like a doorway. If you're always facing closed doors, then for you a door means a deterrent. If doors are always opening for you, then for you door means a possibility. They say how long a minute is essentially depends on which side of the bathroom door you are. Those inside say, "Just a minute, I'm coming." That 1 minute for the person outside is an eternity. Every spiritual practice in the world is related in some way with organizing these 5 elements. The most fundamental practice in the yogic system is Bhuta Shuddhi, the cleansing of the elements in the physical system so that they work in harmony. All yogic practices are essentially derived from the cleansing of these elements. The basis of individual existence is actually memory, which penetrates deep into these 5 elements. Cleansing the elements of the compulsive tendencies that percolate into the individual as a result of mental, genetic, evolutionary and karmic memory helps bring a sense of absolute harmony between the individual and the cosmos. We will look at the role of memory at greater length in a later chapter. When you achieve a level of expertise in your yogic practice, you approach what is called as Bhuta Siddhi, a mastery over the elements. With this mastery, life opens up its bounty to you. Health, well-being, clarity, enlightenment, none of these can be denied to you anymore. So whether you experience life as a great possibility or a great barrier simply depends on the extent to which these five elements cooperate with you. Freedom and bondage, both are determined by these five elements. The very existence that traps you also sustains you. This is the paradox of life process. Love and hate, freedom and entrapment, life and death are all encapsulated in each other. If they were separate, there would be no problem. You could deal with them. The problem is, they are inextricable. If you try to avoid life, you only end up avoiding death. In ancient India, there were courtesans who were masters in the art of seduction. They wore an elaborate jewelry that seemed impossible to remove. The whole body was covered in ornaments. If you had to take them off one by one, it would take a long time. The man fired up by lust would want to undress this woman, but it was in vain. She would go on encouraging with more intoxicants, a little more, and a little more. As his vision grew blurry, his task grew even more difficult, and eventually he would fall fast asleep, snoring. But there was just one pin. All it took was to pull this one pin, and everything would fall down. That trick only she knew. Life is a bit like that. It is a complex web, but there is one simple pin, and that is your identity. The play of five elements is highly evolved and complicated, but the key to freedom is your limited persona. If you pull the plug, it just falls apart and you're free. If you know how to pull yourself out, life's complexity collapses and everything settles. The simplicity of perfect alignment with existence is suddenly yours.